Right. How you guys doing tonight?
Good.
Doing good? Well, let's jump in here. Let's start off with a prayer together. Amen.
Amen.
Father God, thank you so much for bringing us here tonight. Thank you so much for your love, God, that you are such a loving God. I just pray tonight that we can just really be blown away by your scripture, God. That tonight we can just be blown away by who you are. That we can get to know you better, Jesus, as all of us here tonight come with our weaknesses, come with things that we're wrestling with, that we're battling with, God. We just want to know you. Yes. And we pray tonight that you will just remove me out of the way so we can really just hear what you want us to hear from your word, God. We love you. Praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, guys. So, how are we feeling tonight? We feeling good? Tonight, I need your help. It's been a busy week already. If you could give me some, like, as Matt was talking about on Sunday, like, come on, bro, or talk about it, bro, or like, that was really good. I like that. So some of that is good, all right? So, you know, if this is your first time here tonight, we just want to welcome you here.
Yeah.
We're glad that you came tonight. And I am very excited about tonight, about what we're going to be diving into. And as you guys know, we've been studying out this theme of fit life, right? And as we've been studying out the book of Luke, recently I've been enamored by something I've been studying out in my times with God. I mean, this thing has been captivating me. It's literally started to keep me up at night. It has given me great joy. It's led me to be more in awe of God. It's led me to love deeper. And this thing has really led me to be more excited about my relationship with Jesus than I ever have before. It's something that I've always come across in Scripture, but never really dived deep into until this past year. It's something that is actually the central theme of the New Testament, especially the Gospels, that Jesus is constantly talking about. And you're probably thinking to yourself right now, like, what are you talking about? What are you talking about here, Mark? And so, as you guys know, we've been studying out the book of Luke, and what's our theme? What are we doing? Fit life, right? And just as a little refresher here, let me ask you guys, what are we trying to get fit for?
Service to the kingdom of God.
What are we trying to get fit for?
Service to the kingdom of God.
A little weak there, right? That's our theme scripture. We're trying to serve in the kingdom of God, right? So our theme scripture here, Luke 9:62, if you haven't heard it yet, says, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. So we're trying to get fit for service in the kingdom of God. So to answer your question, what I've been blown away by just reading the Bible is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. The kingdom of God and what Jesus is offering us to be a part of is something, it's nothing more than, nothing less than just mind-blowing. What God is inviting us into. It is life-altering good news of great joy for all people.
Yeah.
And tonight we'll be studying out the book of Luke in chapter 6, but we're also going to take some time tonight to really learn more, a little deeper study about the kingdom of God. Does that sound good to you guys?
Yeah.
That's something we want to do. So at the end of our time together, we'll be talking about how we can better serve within the kingdom of God, be kingdom people focusing on loving one another in Luke 6, as we'll look at. But the beginning of our time together is going to be about answering this question right here. What is the kingdom of God? What is the kingdom of God? That's the question we're going to try to be answering here. And why is it such good news? Why is that such good news? All right, so turn your Bibles over to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. We're going to pick up Luke chapter 4, verse 42.
Nice.
All right. So it's up on the screen. You need to read it. Let's go for it. It says, at daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. The people were looking for him, and when they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent. All right? So as Jesus is going to get some personal time with God, he gets interrupted because people want him to stay and heal them. But what does Jesus say? He says, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
That's a strong word there. I must do this. I can't stay here. I got to go tell other people about the kingdom of God. And he says, this is why I was sent. So Jesus is saying, I'm here to proclaim good news, the gospel. And what is the good news? The good news is the kingdom of God. You guys see that there? It is the kingdom. And he's saying, look, this is why I was sent. Right? So Jesus' ministry, as we see here, it's all about the gospel of the kingdom, or the announcement of a new king and therefore a new kingdom. And that's this is really what we're talking about here. This next slide is the gospel of the kingdom. So we can clearly see here, as Jesus starts his ministry, that the kingdom is the why.
Right.
Why he was sent. But what's really awesome about the Bible is it's consistent. Right? So let's keep reading here. We're going to look at another scripture when we see when Jesus sends out the 12. We're going to see that this is a consistent message. Turn your Bibles over to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9.
Amen.
We're going to read verse 1 and 2 here in Luke chapter 9. So when Jesus sends out the 12, what does he instruct them to do? Let's see here. When Jesus has called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim what? Proclaim the kingdom of God and heal the sick. He sent them to do what he was sent to do. To proclaim the kingdom of God and heal the sick. And what you're going to consistently see coupled is those two things. Kingdom and healing. Kingdom of God and healing. Because God's kingdom brings healing. And we'll touch on that more another time. That's a whole other lesson that we need to do. But this isn't all. Look, let's look over when he sends out the 72. Turn to chapter 10, Luke 10. We're going to look at verse 8 and 9 here in Luke 10. It says, when you enter a town, he's sending out the 72 here, and are welcomed, eat what is offered to you. Look at this. Heal the sick who are there and tell them what? The kingdom of God has come near to you. You guys seeing this consistency here? What's the message? There's healing and there's a kingdom, and everyone needs to know about this thing, right? That's what he's saying here. Jesus is teaching about the kingdom of God. He's preaching the kingdom and bringing the kingdom through healing. And he's telling his disciples, go tell people about the kingdom. So again, it begs to ask the question, what is the kingdom of God? If this is his central thing that he's saying he came to do, he's sending his disciples to go into, wouldn't it make sense for us to know what this is?
Yeah.
It's super important. So, let's dive into it. You guys want to talk about it? You guys want to find out? All right, let's do it. So the kingdom is not just the church. It's not just the body of believers. I think a lot of times we could think the kingdom, church, they're intertwined, but the church is within the kingdom. And the kingdom is something much more epic. The kingdom of God is something that we can kind of complicate a little too much, but it's really simple and it's really beautiful. So what is the kingdom? The kingdom, if you could boil it down to one sentence, that's possible. The kingdom, it's the reign of God in the lives of his people.
All right.
The kingdom is the reign of God in the lives of his people. You know, Jesus' prayer in Matthew 6 really sums it up. Jesus' prayer, you've probably heard this before. He says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Wow.
Right? So this is a Hebraic parallel statement. So it means the first thing, I'm going to repeat it differently in the second statement. So what does it mean for Jesus' kingdom to come? His will be done in your life. Same thing. That's what it means for the kingdom to come. The kingdom of God is letting God's will be done in our lives, letting Jesus reign as our king. Jesus is Lord. And therefore, when you make Jesus your king, you'll experience the kingdom when you make him your king. Does that make sense, guys? So as our brother Michael Burns put it, who wrote the book Crossing the Line, he says, what does it mean for the kingdom of God to come? It's when God's people do his will in the present age as though they were standing in God's very throne room, heaven. That's the kingdom. Imagine the light and life of the body of Christ if everything we did with the same zeal and obedience as though we were standing directly in the presence, in the watching eye of the Almighty King. The kick in the gut is that we are in His presence. So the kingdom of God is anywhere where God reigns as King. It's living with God as our King as if we're in heaven right now. As we're in His presence right now, because we are in His presence right now. Yes, you're on earth, but God is here among us. And you can make Jesus your King now. So here's the deal. We need to read some more scripture in the Old Testament to really understand why this kingdom in the New Testament was such good news. We're not fully getting to the understanding yet. So we're going to take some time here to really understand and get ourselves in the shoes of these ancient Jews so we can understand what they were thinking and feeling when they heard Jesus say this. Does that make sense? So let's do that here. And again, the truth is that the kingdom of God is the theme of God ruling as King. This theme is literally seen from Genesis all the way to Revelation. You can see it all throughout the Bible. The story of the Bible, little spark notes here, is it's all about heaven and earth being made one again. Yeah. It's about God's kingdom taking over the world again, once again through Jesus. So we got to read some scriptures in the Old Testament here. You guys want to do that? So turn over to literally the first page of the Bible, first chapter, chapter 1 of Genesis. Let's look here, all right? You guys with me? Genesis chapter 1. So we see the theme of the kingdom, and right here what we're going to see is kingdom language, kingdom wording. So in this passage we see God create man and give them their purpose on earth. All right? So let's read here starting in verse 26. All right? So it says, "Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, us being Him and Jesus, and our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over every living creature that moves on the ground." Okay. Why is this important? So it says here, what it's saying here is, let them rule. That's kingdom language. This is written to ancient people that have a complex that understand kingdoms. They're actually oppressed by kingdoms, right? So this wording here is written to ancient people who understand kingdoms. And so this is kingdom language. So if you're hearing this, you're thinking, king, we're kings of the earth, right? So this passage says that God created humans to partner with God to rule the earth, to be co-partners in ruling creation, showing literally all of creation who God is. That's what you're meant to do. And later in verse 28, again, we see the same phrase, rule over. That we would rule. So we see that the God's purpose for this earth and us as humans was to rule it alongside Him, to create, to flourish, to be creative, to multiply, and to do life together as one on this planet. Right? Just like a king rules, we're supposed to reign together, reign over the earth. Did you know that this earth was made to be a place where God reigns? Did you know this earth was made to be where heaven is, where God reigns? And where? So the question is kind of, so what happened?
Right.
It's like, did you watch the news last night, Mark? Right? It's kind of like, what happened there? So let's talk about that here. But the reality is we know what happens next in this passage. Adam and Eve in the garden, and God says, look, let's do life together. Sin doesn't exist. He says, look, one thing, don't call the shots. You're not the king. I decide what you're supposed to do. Don't eat from that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's no good. What do? We eat. We call the shots. We decide to do what we want to do. We choose to be king. We chose to sin. And instead of heaven on earth, which was the original plan, what happens? There's a split, heaven and earth. And our sin separates us from God. And this vision is lost. Right? And you know what God does? He says, get out of the garden. I got to preserve the kingdom. And sin can't be here. He banishes them from the Garden of Eden. The truth is, guys, you weren't made to live in this sinful world. You weren't made to live in this fallen world. As we come to find out in Scripture, God's plan was one day that He would rule again. That He would take over the reign. That one day Israel would be freed from their sin. That God would rule as king once again on earth and end all evil. That's what we see in Scripture. That one day heaven and earth would be made one again. And that He would administer justice to the nations. So for hundreds of years, as we read right in the Old Testament, Israel is oppressed. They're like, what is going on? Has God left us? But we see this prophecy. We see these prophets say, no. There's a king coming.
Right.
And when He comes, He will rule again, like we read about in Genesis chapter 1. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 52.
Come on. Come on, dude.
Isaiah 52. So we're going to pick up here, literally, we're going like beginning of the Bible, middle of the Bible, and we're going to end tonight at the end of the Bible. All right? So Isaiah 52 here. So Jerusalem has just been destroyed by Babylon. I'll give you a little context here. Many of the Israelites have been exiled, but some stay in the city. And they're really confused because God made it clear to them before that Jerusalem would be the city where God would reign over the world to bring peace to everybody. That's what Jerusalem is supposed to be. But the prophet Isaiah, right here, was helping them to see in this poem here of Isaiah 52 that their sin led to the destruction. It's their fault. They did it. They chose that. They chose to wrong God to be their own king. But this poem goes on to bring some really, really good news. So let's check this out here, why the scripture is so important. We're going to pick up in verse 7. Okay? Verse 7, it says, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring what? Good news. Who proclaim peace. Who bring good tidings. Who bring salvation. Who say to Zion, your God reigns. Listen, your watchmen will lift up their voices. Together they shout for joy. When the Lord returns to Zion or Jerusalem, they will see it with their own eyes. They will see God come as king again with their own eyes. So if you're an ancient Israelite, you're reading this, you're like, what? Isaiah, God's going to reign again? And we're going to see Him? And there's going to be good news and we're going to be freed? This was their hope. This was their hope. And when we pick up here in the New Testament with Jesus, let's just say that they're getting a little impatient. They're occupied by Rome and they're like, Jesus, this king, where is this king at? Because we're oppressed. Where's this king? Let's turn over to Luke chapter 10. Let's kind of backtrack to where we were in Luke. And now we can really, hopefully, more fully appreciate as we're trying to put ourselves in the shoes of these Jews here. Let's go back to Luke 10, verse 9. So imagine, you're an ancient Jew. You know that God's supposed to reign again as king. Literally, your people for hundreds of years have been oppressed. Life is terrible. And all you read about in these scriptures is one day God's going to reign again. And this Jewish man comes to you, normal looking guy, and he says, heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God has come near to you. Light bulb goes off. They're thinking, is this God? Is this the king? Is he coming to rule again? Is Jesus coming back? Is heaven breaking back into earth? Is God reigning again? Are we going to be free from our suffering? And wait, Jesus is the king? Jesus is Lord? Jesus is the Messiah? God's taking over the world again? They're like, hallelujah, let's go. This is the king. This is what we've been waiting for. And so they're like, look, tell everybody. This is the good news. Jesus is the king. God reigns. And that those who let Jesus be their king will experience heaven on earth, will experience Eden, will experience what God made creation to be. That's some amazing news. Am I right?
Yeah.
That's amazing. So the kingdom of God is the gospel. It is the good news. And the kingdom's here on earth right now, but it hasn't fully taken over yet. It's the idea of it's here right now, but not fully. Right. And the best way to kind of help you guys see this here is, this is kind of what's going on right now. So heaven's the left, the earth is the right, kind of the reign of sin and death, right? And so Jesus, through his blood, through the cross, there's an overlap going on right now. So you can experience heaven on earth if you make Jesus your king.
Yeah.
But you're still going to experience the pain of this world.
Right.
So you're going to experience both, okay? Now check this out. Spark notes of the Bible. Here's what's going to happen. So that's the focus right here. What's going to happen one day? All right, so it's not just that we're going to hang out. Okay. So watch this. One day, Revelation says there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. The old earth is going to be gone away with, and heaven will fully take over earth again. In the new heaven and the new earth.
Nice.
That's what we have to look forward to. So if you've made Jesus your king, you're already in it.
Nice.
You're already in the kingdom. And one day, God will fully reign, and he'll do away. It says he'll wipe every tear from their eyes.
Right.
And there'll be no more pain. And God will judge the nations. And so, this is our hope. This is good news. This motivates me to want to go tell people that there's a king. This is going to happen. Do you know about it? If you don't, you better know about this. Because this is what's happening. Right now, we're in the overlap. So, let me find my place here. We're good. We're good here. So, let's transition into part two here. So the question now is, what will it mean for you and me to live in this kingdom under Jesus as our king? What will it mean for us for Jesus to be king? Right? So the question really is, what will it look like to let God reign in your life? Because he's offering you to be a part of this kingdom, but he needs to be your king if that's going to happen. So, turn your Bibles over to Luke chapter 6. This is our main passage for tonight right here, which we're going to, this will be our second and last section for tonight.
All right, Mark.
So, most kingdoms, right, earthly kingdoms, possess power because of vast armies, because of people that put power over others, because of violence, and really by force. But let it be said that God's kingdom doesn't do it that way. And God's kingdom, it doesn't advance through worldly strategy or power or armies. God's kingdom advances through one very powerful weapon. This is the weapon that Jesus fought with, is love. Is love. Love is what reigns in God's kingdom always and for all people. And what we're going to see here is Jesus is teaching people here in Luke 6. Here's what it's going to mean for you to be in this kingdom and to make me your king. So let's pick up here Luke chapter 6 verse 27 for a passage for tonight. It says, Jesus is speaking here, and he says, "But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. And if someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies. Do good to them and lend to them without expecting anything back. Then your reward will be great and you will be sons of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. What? Love your enemies? Do good to those who hate you? Pray for those who mistreat you? This is crazy. Am I the only one thinking this is crazy? This is crazy, right? To the world, this is crazy. The truth is, this kingdom, this is going to kind of bring up a Netflix show too. This kingdom is an upside down kingdom.
Right. That's true.
This kingdom is an upside down kingdom. It doesn't function the way the world does. It doesn't value what the world values. But the truth is that what Jesus is saying to do here is very powerful. Very powerful. You know, verse 31, it says, do to others as you would have them do to you. So this is known as the golden rule, right? Raise your hand if you've heard that before. Do to others you have them do to you. So if everyone in this room decided to live this out every second of every day from now on, our universities would transform. If you lived out this passage every day, every second, you transform your school. You transform your family. You boggle people's minds by your love. Living out this teaching changes the world. It's that simple. If we can do this, this room will not fit us. Love that doesn't make sense changes the world. That's what changes the world. You know, MLK once said, darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that.
Right.
Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. Only Jesus' love, only making Him your king. So the question is, okay, so what does this love look like then? Let's get practical. What does it look like to really live this out? Here's what it means. It means loving people no matter what. No matter what they do to you. It means being patient with people. It means serving people by studying the Bible with them, even through their pride, even through their sin. It means saying what people need to hear instead of what they want to hear. It's saying the truth to people. That's true love. It means looking for ways to love people and serve people. Like, you're just looking for ways to be more like Christ. You're not just going about life and when things come to you, love, you're looking for it. You're looking for how you can love your fellow and brother and sister. And so, it's really this. It's loving without expecting anything back. In its purest form, it's loving without expecting anything back.
That's right.
Do you love without expecting anything back? Do you love without expecting anything back? Why do you love? This is the question, guys. Why do you love? Do you love so people can see you as a loving person? Do you love so people will love you back? Do you love so you won't be lonely and not have any friends? Or do you simply love because Christ so loved you? Jesus says in John 13, 34, He says, love one another as I have loved you. By this all men will know that you are my disciples. He's saying, love one another as I have loved you. So the standard is how Jesus loved you. Does that make sense, guys? That's the standard. So let me ask you guys, how's it going loving that way? How are you doing with that? How's it going loving the poor? How's it going loving the lost? Are you letting Jesus rule in the way you love people? Is there someone you need to forgive? I don't know what it is for you, but Jesus is saying you got to love. 1 John 4, 10 to 11, we're just going to kind of go through a couple of scriptures here. It says, this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Yeah. You guys seeing that here? It's because he loves, so I'm going to love no matter what. He loved me when I was sinning against him. In the moment of my deepest and darkest sin, he died for me. So why am I going to withhold love from people if Jesus loved me at my worst? It's loving without expecting anything back. So kingdom living is hard. Living this out is hard. It's hard, right? But this is what it means to let Jesus reign. To let him be our king. So if you're having trouble loving people, then don't try harder. Don't just try harder to love people. No, you need to take a step back and see how much God loved you first.
Wow. Yeah.
To get the strength to love other people.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So love without expecting anything back, because Jesus loved you without expecting anything back.
All
right. Isn't that kind of crazy?
Yeah.
You know, Jesus bled for you on a maybe.
Right.
Wow.
Jesus died for you on a maybe.
Yeah.
That maybe you would follow him.
Wow.
Look at the scripture here. 2 Corinthians 5. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. He's like, I'm going to lay it all out for you. I'm going to live 33 years without sin. I will suffer for you. I will die for you. And what do I want from you? It's up to you. It's on a maybe. Because
wow.
I don't want to interfere with your free will. I want you to choose to love me. I want to have a real relationship with you. That is amazing love. That love changes the world. So God did this that you would maybe follow him. Obviously, he wants you to follow him. But the standard here that Jesus lays out is to love no matter what. That's what it means to have Jesus as your king. Amen?
Amen.
Let's finish our passage here. Verse 37. Luke 6, 37. Amen. You guys still with me?
Yeah.
Coming in for a landing here. But man, we got to do this passage justice. This thing's got to sting you a little bit. So verse 37, let's pick up here. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. He also told them this parable. Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? A student is not above his teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like his teacher. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye?
Yeah.
You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your eye, then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Jesus is a boss.
Yeah.
Is he not? Oh my gosh. I just wish I could have heard. Don't you wish you just could have heard him speak these things? I probably would have peed my pants like 2 minutes in. Like, he's just intense. So, let's break this down here. So, what does he say? He says, do not judge. Don't be critical. Be humble. Now, this doesn't mean that we shouldn't judge one another and help each other see our sin. Jesus says that once you see clearly, then you should take the sawdust out of your brother's eye. So, it's not saying don't look and see what sin is in each other's lives. How are we ever going to become more like Jesus if we don't call it out? But he's saying, don't just judge out of pride. Don't just judge. Examine your own life first. Don't tell someone to do something that you're not even doing yourself.
Yeah.
Is what he's saying here. And then he also says here, he says, everyone who is fully trained will be like his teacher. That's a powerful statement. How much more like Jesus are you than this time last year?
Mm.
How much more like your mentor are you from this time last year? How much more are you like Jesus? Are you humble? Do you seek to be more like your teachers and therefore more like Christ? Do you seek advice on things like Bible studies or money, relationships, Bible knowledge, just life questions? Do you ask people questions? Do you get help? Do you want to become like the teachers in your life? Jesus wants you to be fully trained, fully mature. But campus, are you maturing?
Come on.
Are you maturing in your faith? It's time to get mature. And if here's the truth. If you're not helping people, if you're not impacting lives, it's because there's a plank in your own eye that you're not aware of.
Wow.
That's the truth. It's because you don't have people in your life that are helping you to see your sin.
Wow.
Some of us here tonight, you got planks in your eyes. Mm-hmm. And you don't even know it. And you're trying to go around and take out all these little specks of sawdust, and you're like hitting people with a plank in your own eye all around. And Jesus is like, let people take out the plank. It's a big example. You're just hurting people. How are your relationships? Do you have friends that challenge you? Do you have brothers and sisters in your life that are ready to take the speck or the plank out of your eye? To call out your pride, to call out your character, your laziness, your selfishness, your lack of biblical knowledge. Guys, we got to get fully trained. There's a kingdom that we got to tell people about. We don't have time to sit around and just show up Wednesday and Friday, show up Sunday, read a little bit during the week, and then 3 months later, it's like nothing's different in our lives.
Right.
We don't have time for that. There's a kingdom.
Yeah.
People are dying. And God's saying you need to become fully mature.
Yeah.
You got to become like your teacher. Amen, guys? The reason the world is so messed up is because Jesus isn't king. People are their own king. People call their own shots and they suffer the consequences for it. Why do we have hate in the world? Because Jesus is not king. Why do we have division? Because Jesus is not king. Why do we have violence? Because Jesus is not king. Why do we have racism and prejudice? Because God is not king. That's why. You know, I was talking with a friend today and he was telling me about a good friend of his from high school. Who they used to be great buds, actually went to the same church. They used to go to the same church. And my friend went to a funeral this past weekend because his friend got into an argument with his girlfriend and got heated. He got angry. He stabbed her, ran away because he didn't want to get caught by the cops. And he drowned himself in a lake. And the girlfriend's okay, but now my friend's friend is gone. And that's because Jesus wasn't king. And that's because no one got in their lives and helped them to see that you need to make Jesus your king. Guys, the world is dying.
That's right.
Like, we got to get serious about this. Jesus has to be your king or else you will suffer. It might feel good in the moment to live life the way you want. It's going to be a rude awakening one day. It's going to be a rude awakening. Guys, do you realize that Jesus literally wants to create a whole new world through us? Where love reigns. That's what Jesus wants. He wants to heal the world through his spirit, his spirit-filled disciples, a whole new era, literally heaven ushering in to earth. He wants this room to go from 70 to 100 disciples. He wants you to go tell your campus about the kingdom. And really, we got to set our sights higher, guys. We got to set our sights higher. We got to have vision that requires a God.
Yeah.
And here's just kind of my closing question for you tonight. As we talk about the gospel of the kingdom, why not make Jesus your king? Why not make Jesus your king? Why not follow Jesus and become a disciple? You're going to have to bow down to him on Judgment Day, so why not just bow down now? Why don't just experience his goodness, heaven on earth now, say no to sin, and build God's kingdom right now and change the world?
Yeah.
Why not do that? That's amazing. Why not make Jesus Lord? God desires to do miracles through you, but he's counting on you to make Jesus Lord. Because one day Jesus will come back. Heaven and earth will be made one again, as Revelation talks about. Creation itself will be restored. God will dwell with us in this same place, and we'll walk with him. This is our hope. This is what we have to look forward to. The why, as we read earlier in Luke, the why are we Christians? There's a kingdom. There's a kingdom that we got to tell people about. And as we close out with this last song here, our theme song, as you guys know, is a song called Rise.
Right?
It says, your love will never fail, you're steadfast. And there's this line in the song that says, heaven is all around us. Anyone ever sing that and like, is that true? Are we singing blasphemy? You know? Hey, I've had that thought cross my mind. But we're going to close out with this song, Rise. Rise. And I want you guys to sing this song as if Jesus is just standing right here and he's just watching all of us praise him.
Nice.
We're going to close out with this song. But for the disciples in the room, here's a question. Here's two questions for you guys. For the disciples in this room, here's a question that I want you to ask somebody tonight or tomorrow. What do you see me not making Jesus Lord of in my life?
Wow.
I want you to ask that to your disciple. What do you see me not making Jesus Lord of in my life?
Wow.
Have a talk about it. And if you're just coming out tonight, you're trying to get to know Jesus, ask the person who brought you, who is this King Jesus? Who is this guy that this skinny white guy just talked about for 40 minutes? Show me who this guy is. Show me who Jesus is. So let's close out with this song. Guys, let's spread the good news. Amen. God has come back. The kingdom is here. It's now. Let's not call our own shots in life. Let's let Jesus be our king. Let's let his kingdom come and let him reign. Amen. So God be the glory.
Yeah.